When you think of DIY, what do you think of? Well, you probably think of sloppy or unskilled or untidy work. But today, DIY has taken on a brand new meaning. DIY represents a customer's choice, a consumer's choice to have a more meaningful connection to the inner workings of items that could otherwise be easily purchased. I want to introduce you to our brand new report that we just put together in partnership with Gladly, and it's talking about the new DIY. That's the name of the report, the new DIY, creators, crafts, and commerce. And this trend isn't just confined to arts and crafts. It is expansive, and it incorporates everything from electronics to robotics to stock trading and real estate investment. And we are proving out the theory that trends that begin on social media culminate in purchases on Amazon, which inspire another wave of social media posts. This cycle of purchase intent is linked to social media inspiration, and we can see it. We can plot it out, and we do that in our newest report. I'm really stoked about it. You can get the report today over at futurecommerce.fm/thenewDIY. That's futurecommerce.fm/thenewDIY. Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex Cloud is for businesses of all sizes, from small and medium-sized businesses all the way to enterprise. You can find out how Vertex can help your business by visiting them online at vertexcloud.com/futurecommerce. Future Commerce is brought to you by Omnisend. Omnisend is way more than just email marketing. Drive more sales and combine more channels with one platform. Learn more about Omnisend today at omnisend.com/futurecommerce. Future Commerce is brought to you by Shipium. Did you know that customer experience is linked to your supply chain? That's right. Your supply chain dictates how your customers feel about your brand. Well, Shipium helps you compete by ensuring that your supply chain meets the brand promises that you make to customers. Find out if Shipium is a fit for you by visiting shipium.com/podcast. That's shipium.com/podcast. Bring the energy, Brian. Show me that you're excited. Let's keep that in the show.
Welcome. Welcome.
Is there no one asleep where you are?
Welcome. Welcome.
That's it. Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about next generation commerce. I'm Philip.
I'm Brian.
It's a very weird intro, this episode. We got a lot to talk about, and we're going to try to squeeze it all into a tiny amount of space, but gosh, it's been a crazy wild week. We just released the new DIY, which is our newest report.
Woo! Love
it's amazing.
DIY. It's a great report.
I know. We are very self-referential, but we care a lot about the things that we create. Brian, you and I, we co-wrote the new DIY. We did all the research. We partnered with Gladly Surge to help put it all together. And our friends at Surge.ai, which, by the way, if you're looking for a consumer research platform, Surge.ai is probably going to rock your world. We're going to have Ferris Juma from Surge, who's going to join us in a week or so and tell us more about what that platform allowed us to do in our research for the new DIY.
Dude, Ferris is awesome.
Oh my gosh. That whole team is just, they're on another level. They're data scientists. They're the real deal.
Yes.
They know what they're talking about. And what we did was we did some research with this platform to find emerging trends. And in the process to, really unpack the DIY economy, we found an amazing thing. That is that
there is a cycle of inspiration that leads to education online, that leads to participation, which ultimately shapes the purchases that a person makes, which leads them back to inspire others into that same virtuous cycle. It's a phenomenon that we're calling the new DIY. We put it into a report, 16 pages, full color, custom photography, incredible branding. Love all the work and the effort that went into it. And I think insights that'll kind of blow your mind. It's not just arts and crafts, is it, Brian?
No, it's really not. It's you know, it's a huge opportunity. It's a complete paradigm shift for consumers, actually. Mm. And I can't wait to do the new DIY part two someday.
Yeah.
There's just so much to unpack there. And like, I feel like that could have been.
We could have said so much more.
Yeah.
We could have said so much more.
36 page report.
Yeah, but it's not. It's 16 pages and you need to read every one of them.
Very
go get it right now.
Go get it.
Futurecommerce.fm/the new DIY. Futurecommerce.fm/the new DIY. And hey, shape your future with some good insights, some insights that you need. And you know what? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not 20 ways to win in holiday 2020. You don't need another one of those. What you need is to figure out what the real future of your retail business is going to be. And I think you can do that. If you go get the new report, The New DIY, it's at futurecommerce.fm/the new DIY. See, this is the radio thing. They say you have to say something 5 times for people to actually get it.
That's okay. Why I said welcome so many times at the beginning of the episode.
Welcome. Okay. Brian, you've got a ton of news stacked up. Things that we haven't talked about in ages.
You know, that's true, actually. We were kind of looking back at some interesting trends that we've seen, some interesting news, things happening, and a lot of stuff happening to brands that we covered in our 9x9 report.
Which
turned out so well. Yeah, and we do. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, we really, like, these brands are doing things actively in our world that are making a difference. And there's, you know, trying new things, setting new trends. For instance, something that just happened is that Kendall Jenner just introduced a $23 toothpaste on StockX.
That's the takeaway. StockX apparently not just doing resale these days. They actually like pioneered something that they're calling DropX. And so they're partnering with brands to drop products because they are a drop platform in some way, I guess, if you think about it. So yeah, StockX is getting into personal care, and they are, Kendall Jenner has the brand Moon, which is an oral care brand and does like whitening, you know, type things, you know, teeth whitening. And she did a collab with Heron Preston, and who's a designer and has done some really interesting work, especially in the footwear space. Long story short, if you feel like spending $42 on teeth whitening toothpaste, you know where to go get it. It's at StockX. Mm. StockX was on our 9x9 report. Mm-hmm. They placed prominently, I believe. Were they number one?
Not number one. They were number two. New luxury category.
In the new luxury category.
Yeah. Which I think... They definitely deserve that spot. I think, you know, StockX was sort of like really, I think, did a good job of being a poster child for the new luxury. And stuff like this.
Introducing luxury and in like a new type of luxury to a new consumer.
Right, exactly. So the platform, like the fact that it could be, you know, it could be something that was used. It could be something that was new. It could be, you know, a hot new product. It could be something that's, you know, a traditional product line. It doesn't really matter. You can find it on StockX, and like the market dictates what the price should be. Like, and obviously, like, the, you know, with DropX, it's a new game, which of course makes sense. Like, they're constantly pushing into new categories, so.
Good. Yeah, I feel like that when 9x9 was being researched, they were in collectibles, right? Handbags, timepieces, and shoes, right? Sneakers. I feel like they've really continued to broaden that mission, and they're blurring the lines of what StockX used to be about, which. You know, I put this out on Twitter, and I was semi I was semi-joking. No, I was definitely joking. Let me take that back. Hold I was up, totally up, joking. Up,
you were right. They were number one, not number two. I don't know why I said that.
Then are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the report right now in this very second.
Were they number one? Oh, then I didn't. The tweet that we posted that said they were number two is incorrect.
That's... No, so they were number one, which makes sense because they really do epitomize this category. So that's even better.
Were they number one or were they number two?
They were number one.
They were number one in the new luxury category.
Correct.
Who was number two?
Farfetch.
I feel like I should know this.
Farfetch.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Oh, Farfetch was actually... Makes plenty of sense. Actually, Farfetch was recently in the news as well. I might as well, you know, jump right on this. Farfetch is piloting experiential shopping, live streaming by partnering with iFi. Partnering. I'm reading the wrong story at the same time. They're partnering with Bamboozer, and they are doing a 6-month trial to try to create more entertainment focused digital commerce experiences. It's the thing that I feel like we have. Shopping is elusive online, or you know, like there's people don't shop. I know we say we shop online, right? Like it's not shopping in the way that like, oh, I'm going shopping, right?
No.
Shopping in the real world.
We catalog browse. We catalog browse online.
I mean, it's more like spearfishing. People go in search of a particular thing, or they're inspired, or sort of sidetracked. But the act of like shopping as entertainment online is an elusive experience because it's not immersive, right? You're browsing static catalog experiences. And with the rise of streaming and like platforms like Twitch, which we should touch on, the AOC, Ilhan Omar, playing Among Us. We should actually touch on that in a second here. But, you know, Twitch gives rise to more, you know, is orienting, albeit starting around video gaming, but live streaming as a concept in the United States is just catching up. And I know Shop Shops is doing this in Asia, but to see a brand like Farfetch actually piloting this, I live stream shopping could be a thing. Brian, we've talked about live stream shopping.
Yeah, we definitely have. And
I mean, us doing it. That's that was the...
Oh, yeah. Well, we've talked about it on the show, and we've also talked about us doing it. In fact, someday, we'll just say that someday we'll do a little segment called Shopping with Philip and Brian.
Nobody, I feel like nobody wants to watch middle-aged white guys shop.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. But I would have fun just making
I would content. Be the target demo, and I don't even want to watch that.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Actually, I just on this topic before we move on or move over to gaming, because we have talked about gaming quite a bit on this show, actually. Yeah. But before we were at Shop Talk last week, Shop Talk meetup.
At Shop Talk.
At Shop Talk. At Shop Talk. Online.
Online. It was the online meetup.
It was 100% online. It was just a bunch of meetings. There was no content, which is kind of counterintuitive for Shop Talk because it's been such a strong
content so focused channel. On content. It's actually I if we were in person and it wasn't confusing, I would basically say like at the same time, let's say if the experience was good or bad. Well, let's do it. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Good.
Middling.
Okay. I gave you a binary option, Brian.
Yeah, I paint outside the lines. You know that.
I thought it was a great... You know what? I finally met Haley LeSavage for the first time from Retail Brew. And if anything, it was good for that. She is just so awesome. She's really, really fun. Knows her stuff. And so if for no other reason, I got to meet someone cool, that was great.
So
I had a great experience.
Here's what I'll say about it. I really enjoyed a good chunk of my meetings, and I was very, very happy to have them. And I probably had more engaged conversations with people than I have maybe even in person at Shop Talk, because it was just like meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting upon meeting. which was really cool. And like being able to talk to those people without any distractions, without anyone trying to interrupt, I guess, it was pretty awesome. That part I really liked. The reason I said middling is because for two reasons. One, I do like a good session. I wish that they had included some sessions that we could go to as well, like some keynotes or something, because I really enjoy good content. And they always do such a good job. So I feel like it would have been cool to have some keynotes or something.
You're judging it by what it didn't have.
Yes. The second thing that I'm judging it by what it didn't have is something that I couldn't avoid, which is I just miss people. And so I miss being in person. I miss, you know, real human interaction that is not over a screen. And there's nothing they could do about that, obviously. But that's just me. And so it's no fault of theirs. They did everything they could. They did it right. But I miss it. And I missed being at Shop Talk. I like Shop Talk. Yeah.
I need some human on human action. Interaction.
And the reason I brought this up is because I had a really great conversation with a company called Immerse, which does live video shopping. And I got really, really, really hyped about it. And they also do like trunk shows as well. Like they'll do like live shopping content, and they'll do one-to-one content, and they'll also do pre-recorded content. They have got the video thing down, which is cool. I mean, they're new and they're working their way into into US markets and such. I'm really excited to chat further with them, and I will be. So
I don't know anything about Immerse. How can we find Immerse? I just tried searching for it and I couldn't
find it.
There's
two S's at the end. I-M-E-R-S-S.
One M. I-M-E-R-S-S.
Yes. Yeah. I think so. Hold on. Wait, no, that's
okay. Well, figure that out?
It's Immerse. No, this is wrong. I'm going to find them. I promise. I'll find them right now. Because I want to get back.
Okay. Anyway, while Brian looks for that, I had a completely different experience to you with Shop Talk Meetup.
I liked the parts that I was in. I liked. I just missed out on a few things. That's all. Now go ahead.
I had a completely different experience to you. I had a phenomenal experience. I talked to so many amazing, cool people, and I was trying to figure out why have I never had that experience before at Shop Talk, and I think I figured out why. I had 2 weeks to think about how to approach these people. I had a full list of every attendee. I had 30 shots to shoot my shot, and I had 30 opportunities to craft an individual message to every one of them as to why I thought I would be an interesting person for them to talk to. That is not a thing you can reproduce in real life. What happens in real life is you see someone with a badge that says M&M Mars, and then you point at them and you say, "Hey, I love your brand." And they keep walking. That is the experience of Shop Talk to me. It is extremely difficult to get in front of people whose brand you adore, or who you might have an interesting overlap with, or share network with, or know someone who knows someone, or have some interesting take on something they're doing, or congratulate them on some success. You never really get those kinds of opportunities because of the thing you mentioned, which is like, it's so heavily programmed. Mm. And anywhere where you actually run into someone is either at a loud bar or it's on an expo floor where everybody is like a shark waiting for a kill. And this gave me the opportunity for the first time to actually get in front of interesting people and have interesting conversations and meet them with zero distraction. To me, this was the most successful Shop Talk ever, period, hands down. Someone quote that and tweet it, by the way, on our team. Like, put that on Twitter, because you would not have thought it, and everyone is exhausted because blah, 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 Zoom fatigue. But honestly, like, I'm so thankful, Brian, that I got married before the age of Tinder, because I would kill at online dating. I would be so good at it.
Oh my gosh.
I would be crazy good at it, because I know exactly.
Tweet that. Tweet that.
I know exactly what to write. Don't tweet that. Tweet the other thing. It was a great experience. I had a phenomenal time at Shop Talk. It was exhausting. Yes. 15 minutes is super short. Would I have rather it be 40 minute meetings? Absolutely not. Everything about it was great. The platform was great. Everything about it was great.
That's awesome, man.
Okay. That was a funny little bunny trail, but
on that bunny trail, Immerse is two M's, two S's. So I was close. I-M-E-R-S-S. I-M-M.
Immerse.live.
I-M-M-E-R-S-S. There you go.
How many times can we spell it at the same time?
Mississippi.
Let's go to their Crunchbase profile. They've raised $1 million and they have two team members.
Yep.
Could we raise $1 million with two team members? Just kidding. All right.
Leave that there.
Moving right along. You know, I loved this story about Instacart, which it's that Instacart. So there was on Grocery Dive, there was a story last week about Instacart launching a senior support service that's aimed at baby boomers, at those that are 16 above, to help create accounts and to shop online. Sort of bridging the gap, like bridging the digital divide to those who, you know, may not be so digitally savvy, you know, to go get their groceries. Actually, Instacart does a lot more than groceries. That's a whole episode unto itself. The pivot of Instacart is an incredible thing.
Yes, it is. I agree.
It really truly is. And Instacart is just, in Brian's words, Instacart is killing it right now.
Oh, that's not what I said.
You say that everything's killing it. I'm agreeing with you. They're killing
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Well,
Instacart's
know what?
Killing it.
You know what I said about them? Instacart's the new Jet Black.
Yeah, it's fulfilling on the promise of concierge service. Yes. Instacart actually featured in our 9x9 at number 6 for Prime Challengers, or the companies that are helping close the gap with normal everyday brands and Amazon Prime. And, you know, if you're going to have a premium delivery service and fulfill that last mile obligation, like some people might argue whether or not it's actually all that meaningful to customers. But in the era of COVID, it sure seemed to be really meaningful. Although I will say,
yeah,
there's been some criticism here. And I want to hear what you think about this, Brian. The criticism of coronavirus is in sort of the bifurcation of the consumer. Is that effectively the upper class worked in their homes while the middle class went and got things and brought them to them. Like that's what happened during COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this. I think that's true.
I know. I was effectively quoting our conversation the other day.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's effectively how, you know, quarantine worked out, at least in the United States, is that, you know, some folks were able to keep working and they just moved to their homes, and other people had to, like, you know, go deliver groceries to those schmucks. And, you know, yeah, I'm that schmuck now.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
To be fair. So what I do like about this recent move by Instacart is that it made Instacart more accessible to everyone. And I think that's an awesome move. And I wish that this was here at the beginning of coronavirus.
This makes me, so let me ask you this. Is Instacart a platform or is it a service that's easily replicated by the big retailers that are depending on it right now? Like, does Instacart survive the next 5 years? Because Walmart will just be doing its own last mile. And
they have been
well,
already.
I'm saying, like, yeah, Walmart, take every big retailer, and won't they be solving last mile for themselves and monetizing it rather than let someone disintermediate or be an intermediary for the experience?
Will Costco solve this? No, my point is that I think there's a lot of...
let's ask nebulous questions.
Yes. No, you're asking a nebulous question.
Will
as well.
Office like, Depot solve yeah, this? Like,
my yeah. point in saying that was, like, I think there's a whole set of retailers out there that won't solve this.
That won't solve it.
Okay. Yes, that was my That's point. Fair. I don't think Costco's going
to solve I found it funny,
this.
Though. You know, I will say that Instacart specifically trying to onboard and having, like, a dedicated senior support service for 60 and above is a noble thing. It's notable, mm-hmm. and it is noble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. And I just to more fully answer your question, I think Instacart's got a pretty hefty lead over a lot of like retailers' own efforts. And so it's going to be a while before they're out of business. Well, there'll be ups and downs probably. But I think they're going to continue to, like, maybe they literally do move back into the space that Jet Black vacated, where it's like true concierge.
You keep referencing Jet Black like it was ubiquitous. It was like a pilot service in just New York City, right?
Yeah, and then it did shut down. So,
so
it wasn't very effective.
There wasn't a gaping hole. Instacart, I feel like, should be given way more credit here.
Yeah, they should definitely agree. No, but the idea behind it is what I meant. So like,
Yeah.
I think the market wasn't ready for it, and now it probably is ready for it. And so, if they can find a way to make it cost effective, and they can find a way to do it right, like provide that sort of more luxury concierge sort of experience.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex Cloud is the automation platform for tax calculation and use tax and everything in between for businesses of all sizes. From SMB all the way to enterprise, businesses all over the world trust Vertex for their tax calculation needs, and you should too. Check them out today at vertexcloud.com/futurecommerce. OmniSend is one platform to control all of your marketing channels. From marketing automation, SMS, and email, to forms and segmentation, you can bring together different channels under one platform with OmniSend. OmniSend's powerful platform allows you to link together every customer touchpoint with one dashboard. And did I mention they have the most transparent pricing in the entire MarTech industry? Find out why brands like Fred Siegel and Unilever trust OmniSend with their customer relationships. Find out more about OmniSend today at omnisend.com/futurecommerce. Future Commerce is brought to you by Shipium. Consumer behavior is reshaping the future of commerce. Customers want their orders fast or free. They want convenient returns. They want to know exact delivery dates. They want curbside pickup. It's here to stay. There really is no shortage of things e-commerce companies need to do in order to compete. How can you stay nimble and also be profitable? Well, enter Shipium, the supply chain platform for e-commerce. Shipium is founded by Amazon and Zulily Vet, and it's the platform that brings the same principles and sophisticated software found in those companies to everyone else who is not Amazon. Manage core pieces of your stack like shipping and fulfillment with Shipium. See if Shipium is a fit for your team by visiting shipium.com/podcast. That's shipium.com/podcast.
Let me read from the Grocery Dive article, because I think there's a few things here that you could probably that we could riff on for a moment. According to Instacart, more than 150 specialists are assigned to staff the program. This is their senior support service program, which is seeing traffic of about 2,000 senior customers a day on average. Specialists spend about 20% more time with these customers than a traditional account support, said the company. Seniors represent a major growth potential for retailers online because, according to eMarketer, 62% of baby boomers will make at least one online purchase this year. And then it goes on to say that there's others that have created special senior support programs. In March, HEB did something special for a special shopping service for senior shoppers to place orders of grocery delivery, either online or by phone. And DoorDash also did something really similar for up to 2,000 stores. They waived grocery delivery fees for those that are over 60. I think that's pretty awesome. It kind of actually segues really interestingly into the Aldi story.
Yeah, the Aldi story was like part of what I was talking about as well, that, you know, the Instacart partnering with Aldi, which will support Snap EBT for online groceries. So that's that's the other thing that I was referencing, is that, you know, this is, you know, making Instacart again more accessible to people. So it's, you know, seniors, it's, you know, people that are on Snap EBT, like this is huge. And so we look back at, you know, what first happened when coronavirus hit, which was everyone who has money and is in a cushy tech job can order and, you know, order their stuff from their homes and have someone from the working class deliver it to them. But what I like about this is that it makes it accessible to everyone. And so, yes, maybe you are someone that delivers Instacart, but also you can order Instacart too, which I think is kind of cool.
So there's actually two really interesting things here. By the way, this is Sarah Perez writing for TechCrunch on October 22nd about this from the story. Sarah is a Tampa person and is on 2PM's retail reporter list. So I thought I'd call that out for no good reason. If you don't know what SNAP EBT is, SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And here in the United States, it's what might have been called food stamps in a prior era. But EBT is the primary mode for delivering this benefit. It is a electronic bank transfer. So it's effectively a debit card that gets reloaded. And you have to accept it in the United States at certain grocers. Aldi is making this available via Instacart. And that's really interesting. It, to be honest though, this is a little bit of a follow on from a prior story where Amazon announced in May that they would be doing it through their grocery, but Amazon's grocery presence is admittedly, you know, minuscule compared to Aldi. And I'll tell you, it actually makes a lot more sense. If you're shopping at Aldi, you're pretty cost conscious to begin with. And that's it just fits right in. It's a brilliant partnership. And yes, I love this idea, Brian, of, you know, providing that tech mobility to, and accessibility to, you know, those of a different income class. And because they're just, you know, that's what we need to see more of this.
Yes, I agree. And I definitely appreciate it when Amazon made Prime more readily available as well. I thought that was great. I think the tech divide needs to be, at least that gap can be closed a little bit.
Well, part of that is an income gap, and the income gap is because of what it is, I think, due to, you know, wage and labor laws and sort of the cost of living being so varied in the United States and having a, you know, federal minimum wage that is not a living wage. And so that's why it's really encouraging to see brands like Chobani that have pledged to raise their own minimum wage to $15 an hour. This was a story we tweeted out that appeared on the Syracuse News, syracuse.com, that Chobani would be raising its minimum hourly wage from $13 to $15 an hour starting in Q1 2021. And why would we talk about Chobani? I'm going to make the people guess at this point. Why?
Why are we talking about Chobani? Because they're on 9x9.
Yeah, they were on the 9x9 report. We're really hyped on our own content these days.
You know, let's talk about something that happened to a 9x9 brand that wasn't so great.
Okay, but let me finish this off in saying that Chobani featured at number two on our 100 Club list, and 100 Club is being a brand, like a company that has retained full ownership of its business or it participates or operates with an employee stock ownership plan, which is what Chobani does, or operates as a co-op such as REI. But we love the work that Chobani has done, and they've rated very highly on our highly scientific spring report 9x9. Sorry, go ahead. We're going to not celebrate someone at this point. Is this the man repeller story?
Man repeller, which became repeller, which would be quickly became nothing.
Nothing.
I think as soon as they sort of lost their the word man, they lost they lost the whole kit and caboodle.
I don't know if this has nothing to do with men.
No, it has nothing to do with men.
But this was actually quite a surprise.
Well, it is interesting. So they were on our Carly list. I, you know, if, so first of all, I think I expect to see ups and downs on that Carly list in general, because that's, you know, new and trending ideas, things that are up and coming. Not everything's going to stick. And in fact, Refinery29 did a pretty interesting in-depth story recently called When the Arm Party is Over, Inside the Rise and Fall of the Man Repeller Aesthetic, which I haven't gotten all the way through because it's a little lengthy, but I got through at least the first page and it was pretty interesting. I think they're kind of getting at the aesthetic sort of lost its flavor and therefore wasn't much longer before the brand itself started to struggle.
Yeah, I mean, there was a great article on Insider, basically just saying, like, there's been a summer of layoffs. Then there was a number of employees who called the brand out for, a hostile work environment, not being very inclusive. In August, Leandra Medine Cohen, who is the founder and very famously sort of the voice and the face, Leandra stepped down actually wrote the farewell post, which is notice of wind down and a publishing update. Basically, it's like, the site will no longer publish new stories, but the archive will remain available to access.
Right.
And thank you for a decade. it's awful to see it sort of fall apart and wind down so quickly, especially after the quick pivot to Repeller, which was such an interesting pivot on its own. I don't know that there's much more to say about that. I think just reiterate the thing that you were saying about brands that were featured on the Carly list and sort of the nature of their like short half-life.
Yeah, I think that by nature of being a new psychographic, stuff that tries to address the psychographic isn't always going to land. And so I think, Man Repeller was number 6 on the list. It was like media trying to become commerce. Sometimes that leap is a little bit too big, especially if your aesthetic is starting to wane. So
I think one of the questions there was, were they relevant anymore? Because the thing that I truly believe that they were, and they came up over and over again in our surveys for 9x9. But after a decade of trying to appeal to someone who might have been in their early or late teens, early 20s, 10 years ago, that person has grown up, and how do they sort of grow with that? How do they grow with them? I think is the question.
It's kind of just back looking to my, at the my existential brands part 2 essay that I just wrote.
This is your recent essay on Future Commerce Insiders, which you could be getting if you, if you were subscribed at futurecommerce.fm/subscribe. Existential. What's an existential brand?
Existential brand. It's a 2-part series, the existential brand that I wrote for Future Commerce, and it's effectively like it's about a sense of self and the importance of self as like a brand. Even though brands aren't people, they are made up of people and they are made up of an identity. And so, part 2 really dove into. I left part 1 at. Don't be so tied to who you are or existence at all. I opened up part 2 with that. And effectively what I talk about is evolutionary identity. So if you are a good brand that isn't entirely self-focused, you actually create your identity through your community and your customers, then naturally as your customers and your community grow, those people change because they are people and people do mature and they do change and things happen and you add new people. And so your identity, and who you are to your customers and who you are to yourself, like it's actually, it's benefited when you are thoughtful and question who you are. And I think Manor Apparel is a good example of potentially, and I'm going to finish this Refinery 29 article before I say this definitively, but could be a good example of a brand that didn't do this. And so I enjoyed writing it. Go check out the series if you want. I had fun.
Another Carly brand. I feel like there's been news in this entire category, by the way, but another brand that rated on our Carly list at number three, ThredUp, recently announced. Well, they didn't. I love the Yahoo Finance article that says ThredUp announces confidential submission. Is it confidential if you're announcing it?
I feel like this is an industry term, you know, mocking.
ThredUp Inc. announced that they have confidentially submitted a draft registration statement on Form S-1 with the Securities and Exchange Commission. So they are filing to go public, and they would be doing an IPO of Class A common stock. This is super interesting, and I think, you know, as a counterpoint to what you were saying just a moment ago, if you look at Kith, which by the way, there are news articles for every one of these brands. I'll just rapid fire because we don't have time to talk about every one of them. But Kith just did, like Ronnie Feig and Kith just did a collab with Mercedes and sold $16.5 million worth of cars in like 10 minutes. Mischief, you know, Kith is here to stay. Kith will be around for...
Yes.
A very long time as a retailer who is doing things on a completely different level from everyone else in retail and has spanned up out of Carly, you know, that can't afford real life yet, but is aspirational for every Carly. I feel like that's why they rate so highly. ThredUp has a very similar thing that they have done. They have taken what is effectively just thrift stores or your local Goodwill, and they have put it online in a way that really is true to the digital shopping paradigm in a way like that heightens the experience of thrifting and making it better than what actual in real life thrifting could be, and making that a cyclical model of not just like someone trying to get rid of your old crap so it's not sitting in your house, but actually turning those people into consumer, like creating the cycle of the consumer. Because if you look at in-store thrift, there's a different person who's dropping off stuff than the person who shops there. And ThredUp is looking to make that to complete the cycle of the donator and the like, they're making it a marketplace that you can participate in on both ends of the spectrum. And that is incredible that they've been able to do that. And they have obviously proven that that's viable and able to be done online.
The donor the donee. That's not donut. That's donae.
It's pronounced donae, if you please. A donee is actually a thing. It's a person who received. If you know, I'll tell this right now. Don't repeat it again, Brian. If you get that reference, email us hello@futurecommerce.fm and I'll send you something funny in the mail.
Oh my gosh.
If you've made it this far in the show, a couple other things. Crocs also on the Carly list at number 8. Recently, just yesterday, as of the time of this recording on October 27th, we're recording on the 20th, but yesterday they announced earnings. Q3, 35% growth in e-commerce, 16% growth in store. And they had their best Q3 of all time.
Crocs. Highly, highly referenced in my existential brand article. Yeah. And for good reason. This is an example of a brand that's done it right.
But I would say what's interesting about Crocs is that they were able to do it without changing the product. They didn't have to change the product.
No. This is my entire point in the article. They tried to change the product.
Right.
And they failed.
And they failed.
So miserably.
Yes.
Crocs golf shoes and ballet flats are an awful idea. That is not what I'm talking about in the article. So you should definitely go read the article if you think that's what I'm talking about. In fact, what they tried to do is the exact opposite of what I'm talking about. So what they did afterwards, I think, is an example of being very self-aware.
This has been my the greatest flow that we have ever had in an episode ever. It's we've threaded the needle all the way through.
Yes.
I'm very proud of us right now.
You know what else? While we're on Carly, go check out the episode we did with Jack DeFuria from Parade Underwear. It is phenomenal.
That's true. Yeah.
So oh my good. Gosh. Please go listen to that.
Jack is the best. I might actually have Jack back with us for just a guest from time to time, not necessarily just to talk about Parade, although I would love to talk more about Parade, but just to have him on. He's great.
Yeah, totally. Super it's great. Smart.
I wish I was like that when I was 23 or 24. Yeah. God, I was a mess at 23.
Man, I had my first kid at 23.
Oh my, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wait, maybe wow. I just turned 24. I might have just turned 24.
Mischief. So let's just round it out here. There was another Narda. If you want cringe, if you want to be Mischief as a brand, right? Mischief, which is number two on the Carly list, which by the way, we'll get off Carly now in just a second. But Mischief just had the cringiest thing I've ever seen. Their newest product, which by the way, their last four or five drops have been game-changingly awesome and great social commentary. This one's a little borderline. It is the American flag Yule log, where you can both, you know, light a fire and burn the flag at the same time. It's super cringe. It costs $17.76. So real tongue in cheek there, buddy. Taking his pricing strategy, taking a pricing strategy straight out of Elon Musk's book, where he sold the Tesla Model 3 for $69,000 and $69,420. To sell an American flag log for $17.76 is truly interesting, and super cringy and like. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so edgy. Oh, you're so edgy. Mischief. Very few brands could pull that off and live to see another day, but Mischief somehow has been able to do
Probably will. Yeah, they definitely will. You know, let's get back to uplifting. One more thing out of Carly. Congrats to Chris Homer, who also came on the show, I believe, last February.
Yeah, Chris Homer is the CTO at
ThreadUp. Yes.
Yeah, one of our alumni in our alumni network. Love Chris. And that is uplifting. Grab bag for you, just a couple others, and we'll call it a day.
Do we have Allbirds. To? I just want to keep talking.
Really? I know it's so good, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm exhausted. You've running me ragged, Brian. We're growing this thing. You know, every which way from Sunday. We've got like five podcasts to record this week.
Yeah.
All in the evenings.
Yes.
It's we put in the work because we love you all so much. Allbirds launched apparel and most people don't really care much about it apparently. But one thing that's notable about it is that all of the apparel has a rating of carbon footprint, which I felt was really interesting. You'll see a rating methodology on any of the product detail pages and sort of what your carbon footprint is by buying the garment. And I thought it was a really interesting execution. So I feel like Allbirds could be, if they chose to be, like, a textile innovation company in helping other brands become more sustainable or more measured and transparent in their carbon footprint. I would love to see, I think this came up when you and I had the Madrona Labs, Ishani Gurjal, I think was on the show. Something to the effect of like, I would love to have I would want to know the carbon footprint of my wardrobe. And having an understanding of what my carbon wardrobe is, I think Allbirds just took another step towards being able to measure that. I think that that's really impressive. Is that ending on a good note?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, actually, that just kind of gets to something from Anna Angelica's new book.
We didn't mention this on Anna Angelique's new book,
yes.
The Business of Aspiration. It just landed here today.
Yeah, and I got a chance to flip through it just real quick. And she said all businesses will be B Corps eventually. And so I think you're right. Like Allbirds could run a masterclass on becoming a sustainable brand.
And it sounds like they may actually be trying to masterclass Adidas or Adidas. So I think that we might see more of it. I'm here for it. I would love to see more of that.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Is that it?
Is it in? I think that's it. That's it for now.
That's it.
That's it for now.
Thank you for listening to Future Commerce. We love that you listen to the show. Hey, if you want to support the show, two things you have to do. Number one, download our new report. It's called The New DIY. Go get it right now. Futurecommerce.fm/TheNewDIY. And let us know what you think. I feel like we're in an era of DIY, and I want to know what you think. I think we present a pretty good argument. And we've measured it out. We've actually found a virtuous cycle of inspiration, education, and participation in the consumer space. And it's changing the way consumers think and what they buy. The New DIY. It's futurecommerce.fm/TheNewDIY. Also, hey, maybe you don't like reading reports. Maybe that's fine. Maybe you don't. Maybe you want to support us anyway. Hey, it takes literally 3 seconds. Go leave us a 5-star review right now on iTunes. Leave us a review.
Go.
It takes 3 seconds. Five seconds if you type something nice into the text box. But if you just click the 5-star, that's what we're looking for. Not 4, not 3, not 2, definitely not 1. But if you click the 5-star and click submit, that's it. That's all you've got to do. That supports the show. That gives us actually, I want you to do that. Do that one. That's the thing that that matters the most to me is your approving of me with 5 stars and the work that we do. That's it. Hey, Brian, you're
this
beautiful.
Is fun. This
I
is
love
fun.
Doing this with you.
This is so
great.
Good.
Hey, future is up to all of us, and we can shape the future. We just happen to use commerce to do it. And we can make the future something that we're all proud of. All right. Thanks for listening.